There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Evening, welcome to Drive Live. Let's say welcome to Neha Punia, joins us on the line from New Delhi. Neha, good to have you on.
It's good to be here, Tim and Natalie.
Okay, let's ask you this. It is, we're seeing horrible pictures. If you've watched the news in the last, certainly, couple of weeks, it is a human tragedy. New surge of refugees fleeing into Bangladesh from Myanmar. At last count, the number had swelled to what? Something like 500,000 people.
Absolutely. And the only word we can use to describe this, Tim, is unending, because every day we're seeing a new surge of refugees or fleeing persecution in Myanmar, and the first country they're turning towards is Myanmar, either by road or even worse, by boat. We've heard horrifying stories of dead bodies being found along the shore in Bangladesh. And just this morning, the United Nations saying that there were about 10,000 to 15,000 new refugees who had arrived at the border in Bangladesh in the last 48 hours alone, and they're still waiting to be allowed to enter the country. The UN is urging Bangladesh to take as many people as it can, but like Bangladesh has said, its hands are quite literally full. It's the only country in the subcontinent that's responded so quickly to this humanitarian crisis. In fact, you have agencies saying that Bangladesh will need at least $4 million in the next 6 months in order to respond appropriately to this crisis. And Bangladesh has appealed for help. Many countries like the UAE, India, and in the European Union have been sending across lots of funds for this purpose, but it's clearly not enough. Bangladesh also announcing plans of building the largest refugee settlement that we'll see anywhere in the world. But it's the conditions that these refugees are living in. They've left everything behind, and now they're living in precarious settlements. And the biggest risk is the spread of communicable diseases. And remember, 60% of these refugees are children.
And Neha, we're hearing reports of deaths and injuries in a blast in Quetta in Pakistan.
Absolutely. It happened early this morning, and from what we know so far, at least 6 police officers were martyred in that attack in Quetta, and 22 people were injured. And the target was a truck on which these police personnel were on, patrolling the main road in the city of Quetta when they were attacked. And the Home Minister of that province has gone on record to say that these were elite officers. So they're suspecting this was an act of terror. But no terror organization in that group, I'd like to add, has claimed that attack yet. So that would be preemptive. But as far as Quetta is concerned, it's the capital of Balochistan. It's seen a lot of violence in the last few years. Every few months, it's in the news for a similar attack like this. And it's also at the center of a fight for independence. The Baloch separatists are fighting for independence from Pakistan. And a lot of these attacks are claimed by that group. Another group that's active in that region is the Tehrik-e-Taliban of Pakistan. So for the locals there, sadly, such attacks have become a daily affair.
Neha, can we move to Nepal, where a human trafficking ring has been uncovered?
Yes. As far as Nepal is concerned, Tim, at least in the subcontinent, everyone knows that Nepalese citizens have been being exploited for years now. And one of the biggest markets for human traffickers has unfortunately been India, where I'm speaking from, where a lot of these Nepalese citizens are promised lucrative jobs and are brought across the border and then need to work in deplorable conditions as domestic help. And now it emerges, there's another market emerging for human trafficking in the Middle East as well. So this is a racket that's now been busted, and various suspects have been arrested in Nepal for this. And the modus operandi was that these victims were taken to the Middle East on a tourist visa. They were promised good jobs there, and then they were left in the lurch. And these racketeers were charging anywhere between 200,000 Nepalese rupees to 500,000 from each victim. And now what the officials are doing is that they're keeping a tab of all the traffic that's going out of Nepal to the Middle Eastern countries. And they're saying they're going to ensure that no such sort of incident is repeated.
And just finally, we know the political controversy over the Taj is just continuing to rumble on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in the last few weeks, for any Indians, it's been a completely bizarre controversy because the Taj Mahal for an Indian national is a source of pride. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. It's one of the most visited monuments in the world, if not in the country. And now there's a tug-of-war going on between historians and the right-wing party, the Bharatiya Janata Party here. Many leaders of the BJP have gone on record in the last few weeks to say that the Taj Mahal is not an icon of Indian culture because it was built by invaders, by Mughal invaders who weren't Indian citizens, and hence it's not something that should be considered as an Indian monument. Historians are accusing the same party, which consists of right-wing Hindu leaders, of ignoring a cultural monument, which is India's pride. So the tug-of-war continues. We had the Uttar Pradesh government last week even leaving the Taj Mahal out from its tourism brochure. And the allegation is they're doing this because this was built by Mughal invaders. But if you ask any Indian, including me, the Taj is still the Taj. It's still the one monument that the entire world associates with India. So this political controversy, at least for the common man, is completely bizarre.
Neha Punia is in New Delhi. Neha, good to have you on. We'll talk to you in, 2 weeks' time?
Yes, thanks so much, Tim and Natalie. Good evening to you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.